This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. On Sunday, the U.S. and South Korea will launch a large-scale set of naval and air maneuvers. They're designed to send a strong signal to North Korea in response to its torpedo attack on a South Korean naval vessel in March. That ship sank, killing 46 sailors. As NPR's Mike Schuster reports, the U.S. and South Korea have been slow to respond to the North Korean attack, in part because of pressure from China.
It's taken nearly 4 months for the U.S. and South Korea to figure out how to respond to the North Korean attack on the Cheonan. They waited for a South Korean investigation, and then they waited for action in the U.N. Security Council. The wait was frustrating, and both the U.S. and South Korea initially intended to hold naval exercises in mid-June. But when word leaked out that the U.S. was prepared to send the aircraft carrier George Washington into the Yellow Sea west of the Korean Peninsula, and by the way, not too far from China, the issue got more complicated, says Dan Snyder, a Korea specialist at the Asia-Pacific Research Center at Stanford University.
It was almost a propaganda campaign in China. There was multiple articles in the Chinese media. They made it quite public, and they laid it out in some detail what their objections were. So it was a little bit unusual the way the Chinese intervened on this.
In fact, the U.S. has held large-scale naval operations in the Yellow Sea before, complete with aircraft carrier battle groups. But since the Cheonan was sunk, China seems to have done everything it could to protect North Korea from any real repercussions. It might have been better for the U.S. to have acted quickly rather than taken so much time, says Evans Revere, an expert on Korea formerly with the State Department and now with the Albright-Stonebridge Consulting Group in Washington.
It's become so politically charged an issue when it comes to the Chinese. I don't know that it would have been as charged an issue if the exercise had taken place back in April and May.
Now the exercises will take place in the Sea of Japan to the east of Korea. They will involve the George Washington, another 20 ships and submarines, plus up to 100 aircraft and some 8,000 military personnel from both the U.S. and South Korea. Experts on Korean naval conditions say if the U.S. wants to bolster South Korea's anti-submarine warfare capabilities, the maneuvers should take place in the Yellow Sea, not what the Koreans call the East Sea. Major General John McDonnell, the Pentagon's Assistant Chief of Staff for Operations, insists there are benefits for conducting maneuvers east of Korea.
By doing it where we're doing it, we're getting the most training value out of the East Sea. It has strike training that we need to have on some of the ranges that are on the East Coast. It has a capability that we're going to exercise very thoroughly on that side.
And according to the Pentagon, there will be maneuvers later, possibly in September, in the Yellow Sea as well. In the effort to block the maneuvers nearer the Chinese coast, one military leader in Beijing was quoted as warning that the Yellow Sea has been a preferred path, a gateway, for invaders of China in past centuries, a statement that puzzled Evans Revere.
I think it was very unfortunate for the statements like that to be made, but the fact is, and the fact remains, that the exercise is clearly directed at North Korea, not to China.
Meanwhile, North Korea has been uncharacteristically quiet in recent weeks, and let China do most of the objecting, points out Dan Snyder.
I think the North Koreans must be ecstatic. I mean, to have the Chinese come essentially to their defense and to turn what was the issue of North Korean aggressiveness into an issue of the provocative behavior of the United States and its ally, South Korea, that's great for North Korea. That's a propaganda bonus.
Some experts believe China has been so protective of Pyongyang because the North Korean economy is deteriorating rapidly, and the issue of who will succeed the leader, Kim Jong-il, is becoming more and more urgent each week. Mike Schuster, NPR News.